Good morning. Good Yisro Chag. Today's Daf Mem Test in Menachos. We're back on Mem Ches Amud Beis, and we start like this. We are three lines from the top of the page. Kiasa Rav Yitzchak. Tani. So Rav Yitzchak came in, and presumably it means from Eretz Yisrael. And he taught the following braisa. Kivsei Atzeres Shashachtem Shlo Kimitzvah Son. So I have Kivsei Atzeres, right, the two sheep that are brought on Shavuos, and they shechta shlo kemitzvah son, I do it improperly. Okay, what exactly does that mean? So Rashi offers two explanations. Rashi definitely shows preference to one, even though the other explanation was provided to him by tradition, by Gaonim. But Rashi prefers one, and the pshat that Rashi prefers is the pshat of shlo lishma. No, so in other words, the kifsa etzeres was shechta shelo lishma. So nifsalin, so it becomes pasul. Okay, it's shelo kemitzvah san. V'tu ubar tzura san v'yasal beis asreifa. Okay, and you gotta let it rot. To ubar tzura san ibar tzura, which we've had now already a number of times. And I told you, just get ready for it. Just get comfortable with the language. So it means you got to leave it overnight. Okay, look at Rashi over here, two bucks to Rasan. So Rashi writes like this. Lefisha in surfing kachan achiv sobalina. Look, it's not really possible yet. And since it's not really possible yet, so you got to let it sit overnight. Mishum be zayon kachim. Meaning because if it's not possible yet, so you don't really have license, you don't have legitimacy in burning it. So once you leave it overnight, so now it really becomes pasul, and then you can burn it. Alein kein psula begufo kagon pigel v'tamei. In other words, in order to be able to burn a karbon, it has to be intrinsically disqualified. There has to be something, just for lack of a better term, really wrong with it. And if all you had was just shinui kodesh, is just a change in designation, so it's not enough, so therefore you have to leave it overnight. Okay, so the leads to a discussion which Tosos has over here and the other Rishonim have as well. Shinui Kodesh, meaning, according to Rashi's first pshat, the Shinui Kodesh is not a psul baguf, it's not intrinsically disqualified, and there is a little bit of discussion about that, but for the time being, though, let's leave it as it is. Okay, so that is the braisa that's taught to us by Rav Yitzchak. Fine. Amar Rav Nachman, I'm sorry. Amar Rav Nachman, Mar Demakash Lechatas Tim Psulin. Now, what just happened over here? Yetchinu Kodesh, right? On what? This is a shlamim. Okay, granted, it's Shalmei Tzibur, it's a Kamino shlamim, but it's a shlamim. So it's a little bit strange, more than a little bit strange, that on a shlamim where you have shinui kodesh, so you say, oh, okay, fine, you gotta burn it. Okay, let it first sit overnight, lay overnight, so it has as Rashi describes, a psul begufo, an intrinsic disqualification, and then burn it. But what are we talking about? We're talking about shlamim. That's not what happens with a shlamim. A shlamim that gets a shlamim that is. That you have a shinui kodesh, that you have a change of machshava. Instead of a shlamim, I think of something else. I think of an ola. Okay, so but that doesn't require you to destroy. What do we say? We said from the very beginning of zvachim that if you have shlamim with shinui kodesh, so it's lo alu lebalim. It doesn't help for the owner, but the carbon's still a good carbon. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Mar Demakish Lechatas Tani Psulin. So Rav Nachman says, oh, I see what's going on. You make a hekesh. You make a connection to that of Chatas, and therefore you learn that it's pasul. However, Tana Debei Levi, Degam Mesham Echova Mesham Edava, Tanik Sheirim. But I'll show you another Brisa, and this Brisa says that it's kasher. And I get it, meaning I get both sides of the coin. You make a hekesh to a Chatas. Now we know that by carbon Chatas, Shinui Kodesh disqualifies. That also we learn from day one of Zvachim, that the two exceptions to the rule are Chatas and Karban Pesach. So you feel that Shalmei Tzibur, specifically the Shlamim of Shavuos, is connected to Chatas. Now the reason why you think that is because they are. Meaning if you open up Chumash and Parshas Zamor and you look at the Pasuk there, you will see that in that Pasuk you have a reference of Shlamim and connected right to is a Chatas. So you feel that the Shalmim of Shavuos is connected to the Chatzis, and that's why you feel that a Shinui Kodesh and the change in designation is going to make it possible. I, on the other hand, feel and I'm backed by Braisa taught by Tana de Beit Levi that no, it's like any other shlamim, and any other shlamim where you have shinui kodesh, it's going to be fine. Did ni Levi? We learned on a Braisa b'shar shalmei nazir sheshachtem shlo kimitzosan. If I have the shlamim of a nazir. Now, we just shifted, right? I don't know if everyone realizes, it's a subtle shift, but we just shifted over here. We were in the discussion of the Shlamim of Shavuos, yep. And we just shifted nice and easily over to the Shlamim of Nazir. But it's the same basic idea. The Shlamim of Nazir is also connected. In other words, the Nazir has to bring a Karban Shlamim, a Karban Chatas, and a Karban Ola. So, what if I have a Shlamim Nazir Sheshachtan Shalokim Mitzvasan? If I Shechtan Shalol Lishma, skip parentheses, one line down, Nechalan Leyom Valayla. So, what happens to it? It's a Shlamim. You eat it for one day and one night. One day and one night, how come? How come you don't eat it for 2 days? Because it's still a Shlamim of a Nazir. The Eintun and Alechem Velozro, it doesn't require bread, it doesn't require you to cook the leg like you normally do with a Shlamim of a Nazir. Meaning it basically just converts into a regular Shlamim. Okay, so essentially what's happening over here is the same thing. Meaning that you have an opportunity by the Shlamim of a Nazir where I could say it's like all other Shlamim, and by all other Shlamim, Shina Rikodesh makes it, it's fine. The carbon is fine. You don't get credit for it, but it's fine. Or I can connect it to a Chatas. Why? Because a Nazir has to bring Shlamim and Chatas, so I might connect the two. Similarly, by the Shlamim of Shavuos, I could just treat it like a regular Shlamim, or I could connect it to a Chatas, because on Shavuos, I bring Shlamim and Chatas. So Tana de Beit Levi is clearly of the opinion you treat it like a shlamim. Meisvei the Gemara challenges Asham ben Shana, Vehevi ben Shtayim, ben Shtayim Vehevi ben Shana. An Asham where you need to bring a 1-year-old and you brought a 2-year-old. You need to bring a 2-year-old and you bring a 1-year-old. Psulim v'tu bar tzirasam v'yasla beisas reifa. Okay, so it's disqualified, and once again, it's not intrinsically possible. So you have to let it stay overnight. Once it lies overnight, so now it will become intrinsically possible through the psul of Lina, and then next morning you have a chance to burn it. Ava olas nazir, va olas yoletas, va olas mitzora. However, if you have an ola of either a nazir or a woman who gave birth, or that of mitzora shayu b'nei shtei shanim v'shachtam, and they were 2-year-olds, and you shachtik sherim. So it's kasha. Why? Kala shal davar, kala kasha ba olas nadavar, kasha ba olas chova, v'chala pasal b'chatas pasal ba'asham. Look, because in terms of the rules of ola, if it's by an olas nadavar, by a voluntary offering, it's fine. So even by an obligatory offering, even though you offered the wrong age bracket, but still, it's not going to disqualify the karban. By an asham, we're going to treat like a chatas, and therefore it's going to be possible. Chutz mi shalal lishmo, with the only exception, of course, being shalal lishmo, because shalal lishmo is limited only to a chatas, not to an asham. Okay, so you see in this brace over here, again, the same idea, that when it comes to an ola, or when it comes, even the ola of a nazir, you basically say, we'll treat it like an ola's nadava. The Gemara says, hi, Tana de Beit Levi. Good. That brisa belongs to Tana de Beit Levi. So again, we go back. Shlamim of Shavuos. Let's go back to from the beginning of today's daf. Shlamim of Shavuos, why Shechta Shalol Lishman. Again, that's Rashi's preferred pshat. So there are basically two schools of thought. Treat it like a chatas, which means it's disqualified, or treat it like a regular shlamim. And lo al labalim, it's not going to, the community won't get a check for this carbon, but carbon can be eaten. Tashma deni Levi is taught to us by a braisa by Levi. Asham nazir v'asham etzor sheshachtan shalol shman ksherim. I have an asham of a nazir and asham of a mitzora. Where was shechta shalol lishman? So it's going to be kasher v'lo alu l'balam. But of course, the owner doesn't get a check. L'shem chova shachtan. I'm sorry, v'lo alu l'balam l'shem chova. Okay, sorry. Shachta mechusar zman b'balam. If the owner is premature, for example, the owner is being premature. Meaning, for example, the let's say he has to count his let's say he's a Metzorah, and he needs to count 7 days before he can bring his Karbanos. He brings his Karbanos on the 8th day, and he did not count the 7 days, and he brought it too early. So the Gemara says, and or if it was a 2-year-old and he shechted, it would be puzzle. The Misa Ligmar Mishlamim. So the Gemara says, okay, I don't understand. Why don't we just learn it from Shlamim? So the Gemara says, Shlamim Mishlam Gamar, Asham Mishlamim Lo Gamar. One Shlamim will learn from another type of Shlamim, but Asham Mishlamim, but we're not learning Asham from a Shlamim. So the Igamar Shlamim Mishlamim Ligmar Nami Asham Mi Asham. So the Gemara says, okay, if you're ready to jump and learn Shlamim from Shlamim, which we were ready to do, which we did actually do, meaning the Shlamim of Shavuos, which is Shechter Shelo Lishman, we said it's fine. Why? Because other Shlamim are fine. Shelo Lishman. Fine meaning that the carbon is edible, not that the owner gets credit for it. But why don't we do the same thing for Asham as well? Asham Nazir, Asham Etzarami, Asham Gzels, Asham Eilos. Look, I Shecht an Asham, and it was either too old or too young. Okay, but some Ashamos are a 1-year-old, some Ashamos are a 2-year-old. If I shecht the wrong age bracket, but still, I shouldn't say that the carbon's disqualified. Oh, I'm sorry. Vashem Eilos, Vashem Gzels, Vashem Eilos, Vashem Nazir, Vashem Etzara. So I'm Hashimi Barashi, Dun and Davish Alabeachshir, Midavish Alabeachshiro, Vein Dun and Davish Alabeachshir, Midavish Abeachshiro. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why you can't do that. Because in the world of Asham, look, certain Ashamas require a 1-year-old, certain Ashamas require a 2-year-old. I can't learn out one from the other because in every one of the cases an Asham, an Asham is never a voluntary carbon. Asham is always going to be obligated. Either it's a 1-year-old or it's a 2-year-old. If I bring the wrong age, I can't say, well, I know I brought the wrong age bracket, but in other circumstances, it's okay. The Gemara says, no, that doesn't work. Because in the world of Asham, either it's right or it's wrong. In the world of Shlamim, you have much more latitude. Because in Shlamim, you have something called an Adava. You have a voluntary offering. And the Torah never limits to us what age bracket you bring your Shlamim from. So by Shlamim, I have more latitude. Even if I brought the wrong age Shlamim in other areas, but still, Shlamim can be a voluntary offering, so I have more latitude. So the Gemara says, "V'hatayin v'lo v'hatanya minayin liyotzei shim alo lo yered." So the Gemara says, "You really? It's true. Every single time, I have something which is shelo behechshero. I can't learn it out from behechshero." The Gemara says, "What about the case of yotzei, a carbon which was taken out of the courtyard?" Shim Allah, where if I brought it back in and I put up onto the Mizbeach, now I shouldn't because it's disqualified. But if I put it back up onto the Mizbeach, lo yerid, you can keep it up onto the Mizbeach. Time and again we've spoken about the idea that the Mizbeach can tolerate. Mizbeach has a certain amount of tolerance where even things which are disqualified, if brought onto the Mizbeach, can be kept there. Yotze, the Psul Yotze, something which was taken out of the Azara, if brought back in and put on the Mizbeach, I can keep it there. How do I know that? So the Gemara says, Shahari Yotze Kasha Bebama. All because when Bamas were permitted, so you know, Yotze wasn't the problem over there. Now the Gemara says, you see what just happened? We took something which at the time is Behechshero, and we apply it to a time where Shelo Behechshero. When Bamas were permitted, so yeah. So you're allowed to take the bama and offer it outside. And now you want to tell me, oh, now we can learn out a halacha when bamas were prohibited? How did you do that? How did you learn out a halacha of hechshera to a halacha of shalom hechshera? So the Gemara's answer, which the Gemara gives this answer a number of times, top of Memtes Amud Aleph, Tana Azos Tarasa Ola Riba Samech Leh. The real source of the halacha is Zos Taras HaOla, meaning it's really a drasha. And the idea that, well, it's kasher by Obama, that just reminds us about the halacha. But that's not the source of the halacha. The source of the halacha really is based on a drasha. Okay, period. All right, so basically what comes out over here is as follows. Okay, beginning of today's daf to where we are at this point in time really dealt with one halacha. And two ways to look at the halacha, two ways to go with the halacha. If I have A, shlamim of Shavuos, Vayshech Shelo Lishma. So what becomes of that carbon? So one approach is it's pasul, even though it's a shlamim. Shlamim Shelo Lishma is going to be pasul. Why? So the Gemara says, well, because you can connect it to the chatas. Meaning, since on Shavuos I also bring a chatas, and the chatas and the shlamim come in conjunction with one another, so just like a chatas Shelo Lishma is pasul, so to the shlamim Shavuos Shelo Lishma is also going to be pasul as well. That's one approach, but that's not the position that we accept. The position that we accept is it's fine. Again, I keep saying it's fine. It's not really fine. A shlamim Shelo Lishma, even the shlamim Shavuos, the shechter Shelo Lishma, is the carbon itself is still going to be okay. The carbon does not become disqualified. Kohanim are allowed to eat the carbon. However, because it was Shelo Lishma, so therefore lo alu labalim. It doesn't, the owner doesn't get it checked. Here, by the way, the owner is going to be the Jewish people. In other words, this is a communal offering, so the community doesn't get a check. The community is going to have to go and get a brand new carbon, or in this case, two new sheep for the two shlamim. Okay.
New bread.
Huh? And right, presumably new bread as well. Okay. Good. Okay, that takes us through part one of today. Not yet. Mem Tesem and Aleph, we're on the top of the page. Tini Rabba Barbarchana Kame de Rav. Okay, Brisa taught in front of Rav, and the Brisa goes like this. Kiv Sead Sarisha Shacham Lashem Elim. Okay, sheep versus ram. Okay, everyone know the difference? I'm glad. It's the same animal. A ram is older, it's a more mature animal. Right? A ram is a 2 year old. And a sheep is a 1 year old.
So ram have like a horn
Age is the difference. Okay, you're not talking to a farmer over here. even though I'm a boy who grew up in Jersey, but wrong side of Jersey. Kivsei atzeres sheshachtam l'shem elam. So kiev kvasim of Shavuos, and you say to yourself, I'm going to shecht this l'shem elam. Okay, for the sake of rams. So ksheirim v'lo alu labalim l'shem chova. The Brisa says, this is a Brisa reported in front of Rav. The Brisa says, carbon's still okay, but the community, the tzibor, did not get credit. Okay? In other words, Shinui Kodesh. There was a change of designation. Now, usually, when we talk Shinui Kodesh, we talk change of designation in terms of type of carbon, meaning we change from a shlamim to an ola, or we change from a shlamim to a chatas, something like that. This is different because here we're changing from keeping the carbons essentially the same, but different type of animal. Meaning a kevis and an aisle are different types of animal. How do I know that? It's very simple. Because the Torah sometimes prescribes us to bring a kevis, and sometimes the Torah tells us to bring an aisle. And you can't confuse. If the Torah tells us to bring a kevis, you can't bring an aisle. If the Torah tells us to bring an aisle, you can't bring a kevis, even though it's the same animal, but age makes all the difference. So here, if when bringing the kevis I say, right, the Kohen articulates, I'm bringing this l'shem aisle, that's Shinui Kodesh, and as what happens every single time with Shinui Kodesh, there is going to be a detachment, meaning it's lo alu labalim, owner did not get credit, and once again Kohen now has to bring, the community has to bring another carbon.
So the sheep are always female, right?
No, the sheep could be male. Kevis is male. Kivsa would be a female. So this, no, the only difference over here is the difference of age.
So, always male?
Huh?
Isle's
always going to be male. Right. Amar le Rav, alu v'alu. Now, on this brisa, Rav has a comment, and Rav says, alu v'alu. It's good, and it's good. Meaning, not only is the carbon going to be a good carbon, the community is going to get credit for it. Okay. Now, how do you understand Rav? Meaning, the simple way to understand Rav is, he's dismissive of the brisa. That's a simple way to understand Rav. Okay, not the end of the world, meaning even though Rav is an Amora, but Rav has the right to argue with the Braisa, Rav Tanu Palag. So, could very well be that Rav just simply is dismissive of the Braisa. That could be. The Gemara, however, will give us two explanations of how to understand Rav. Students of Rav come forward and give us their impression of Rav. Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista was a student of Rav. Mistabra Milsa de Rav. So here's where I think Rav is talking about. Meaning what Rav Chista is about to do now is he's going to create shalom between the Braisa and Rav. Meaning, I can't imagine, says Rav Chista, that Rav is just simply dismissing the Braisa. I think what we're going to do is we're going to give Rav a certain context, and under certain circumstances, limited, it's going to be true. Where even though the guy who was shechting, and let's call it the Kohen who was shechting the carbon was a little bit confused, but Rav's case is understandable confusion, acceptable confusion. For example, Mistamba Milsa Darav Bichasavra Elim Bishachlam Lashum Kvasim. Okay, it really was sheep. Okay, it really was. The Kohen who approaches it thinks to himself, oh, that's a ram. Okay? And look, I guess the Kohen over here was a city boy, not really knowing the difference between sheep and ram. And so he approaches it thinking it's a ram, and then he goes and he says, I'm shechting it l'shem kvasim, for the sake of sheep. Okay.
By mistake,
right? Exactly, right on the money. So by mistake, it's okay. He didn't... In other words, he thought it was a ram. Now, the Torah gives a very clear prescription on Shavuos. So what are you supposed to bring? You're supposed to bring sheep, meaning for the Shlamim. So the Torah's prescription is very clear. It happens to be that the actual animal is a sheep, and he defiantly, in his mind, defiantly says, I'm bringing this as a sheep. Now, well... good for him, meaning it is a sheep and that's what you're supposed to bring.
He thinks it's a ram.
But he thinks it's a ram. Okay? And so he is being defiant. On the other hand, the Gemara says, Shari kvasim l'shem kvasim nishkatu. Because it is sheep and he has a mind sheep, so you're good. Okay. And that's Rav. Aval kasavra elim v'shachtan l'shem elim lo. But if he thinks it's a ram, it's a sheep, by the way. Between us friends here in this room, it really is a sheep. If he thinks it's a ram, and he changes the designation, he says, L'shem Elim, so then, lo, it's not going to be good. Why? Akira betalos havi akira. Because even though he's mistaken in terms of what it is, but still, even though he's mistaken, he's okir. He uproots it. And it's still going to be legally significant. Even though he's wrong, but akira betalos havi akira. That is one understanding of Rav. That's Rav Chista's understanding of Rav. Okay? It's a good understanding. The case is a little complicated, but it's a good understanding because now we have created two opportunities. An opportunity for the Braisa, an opportunity for the Rav, and they're not at odds with one another. The Bryce's case is where he actually wants to change it to a ram. He thinks it's a ram. He changes it to a ram. Mm-hmm. He happens to be wrong, but so what? It's a real. It's a legally recognized change of designation, even though he doesn't know. He didn't know better. And Rav's case is where he thinks it's a. He thinks. I'm sorry. First, let's start off with what it is. It is a sheep. And he says to himself, I think it's a ram, because he's a city boy. I think it's a ram, and I'm going to change it to a sheep. Okay, so when all said and done, sum total, it is a sheep. He shechs as a sheep. Even though he's mistaken about what it is, it's okay. That is one understanding of Rav. That's Rav Chista's understanding of Rav. Rabba Amar, Akir Betos Lo Havi Akira. So... Rabbi Amar Akira Betos Lo Havi Akira, and Rabbi says no, that a mistaken uprooting is not considered an uprooting.
Okay, meaning he disagrees in principle with what Rav Chisda offered to us. Rav Chisda offered to us a case where it is a ram, it is a sheep. He didn't think so. He thought it was a ram. He's trying to legally change it to a sheep. So, right, it is a sheep. He changes it to a sheep. That's fine. In the second case where it is a sheep, he thinks it's a ram. He changes it to a ram. So the Gemara says that's an Akira. Rebbe says on this last point, I disagree. No, if you are mistaken about what it is, that's not an Akira. That's not legally significant. Okay. Amar Rav u'mosvis u'nashmaisen. And the Gemara says, and now we're going to see whether or not this is in fact true. Meaning, if the Kohen doesn't know what he's talking about, right? And he tries to change something based on his misinformation, is that legally significant? So the Gemara from this point forward till the Mishnah is going to take up this issue. Kohanim, we start off with a... What is this? Is it a Mishnah? Yeah. We start off with a Mishnah. Kohanim shepiglu b'mikdash mezidim chayavin hashogegim peturim. Okay. Many times people have asked me this question, but when we talk about pigol, so we often talk about what the effects of pigol, but rarely, and in Zvachim, I don't think we ever talked about the liability of the Kohen, right? And I often get the question, well, what kind of liability does he have? Meaning he ruined a carbon by creating pigol. And so the Gemara in Gittin talks about it. Here the Mishnah in Kedushin speaks about it, and the Mishnah says, no, there's a Mishnah in Gittin. Okay, sorry. And the Mishnah says that if the Kohanim and Mefagel ben Mikdash ben Mezid, if they do so intentionally, they have personal liability. Okay? Which, by the way, it makes sense, although, to be totally fair and honest, it also doesn't make sense. Let's start off with the easy part. It makes sense. He's negligent. Meaning, you gave your carbon to the Kohen, and you asked the Kohen to offer it as your carbon, and through his negligence, right, bemazed it. He did so intentionally. He said, I'm going to eat the carbon chusas mano, and he has disqualified your carbon in doing so. And now you have to go back, and out of your own pocket, you got to pay for new carbon. So it, yeah, if he deliberately did it, right? It's beyond gross negligence. He was a mazik. He damaged. So on one hand, it makes perfect sense because look what he did to you. On the other hand, right? It's right. On the other hand, it's a hezek she'eno nikar. The Gemara in Gittin tells us that damage has to be recognizable. The only damages that the Torah recognizes is damages which are recognizable, right? I trash your car, right? I break your lawnmower, right? That's nezek biyadayim, recognizable damage. That's what the Torah requires me to pay for. That's what I have liability for. But if it's something where I didn't create an actual change in the item, all I did was make some sort of legal change in the item. For example, I go over to a Kohen's house and I go over to his truma and I metame his truma. Okay? So did the truma go through any type of physical change whatsoever? No. Technically speaking, I'm off the hook. The Torah does not require me to pay. Torah only requires to pay for hezek hanikar, only damages which are recognizable, actual physical change in the item. Okay? But as you can well imagine, though, hard to run a society like that. The Chachamim stepped in under certain circumstances, and the Chachamim said, even if it's a hezek she'eino nikar, even if it's not recognizable damage, but you did so deliberately, so the Chachamim, with the power invested in them, are able to give a knas, levy a knas, a fine.
Like garmi?
Huh?
Like garmi?
It's not even.
It's especially as a grama, but it's a garmi that.
Right, you're right. There's that middle category. It's a knas, meaning min haTorah. It's not hezek. Okay, it's hezek sheino nikar. But because I didn't make a physical change. It's just a legal change. It's a legal status, a legal change, but. Okay, but the Chachamim realized that It's, you know, and also what a big motivator of the Chachamim is, they don't want the Chote to be Niskar. They don't want a sinner to get to walk away with just, you know, nothing, no consequences. Right, I don't have to pay for it. So the Chachamim said, look, if there was malicious intent, if the person wanted to damage, even though it's a hezek she'eino nikar, even though it's not recognizable, the Chachamim stepped in and said, you need to pay.
Rabbi, wouldn't they need to bring another carbon if it was figgle?
They'd have to bring another carbon, but if the Kohen did so intentionally, if he intentionally disqualified your carbon, so he's on the hook. He's got personal liability to pay you back for the damage that he did. Okay. He pays out of his own pocket.
He brings the carbon.
No. He buys you a new carbon. Right? Or reimburses. See, right? It's a chov. It's an obligation. Okay. So, HaKohanim Shepiglo B'Mikdash Mezidin Chayavim. So, if they do so intentionally, they're Chayav. So, HaShogigim Baturin. Which means, of course, that they did so unintentionally. Right? They were mistaken. So, they're going to be Pater. Utni Allah Pigulin Pigul. And the Braisa says like this. Even though, listen carefully. Even though, from a liability standpoint, they're off the hook because it's shogeg. Now, you have to understand, by the way, what I explained a moment ago really clears this issue up. Meaning, what's the difference between mezid versus shogeg? You know, whenever it comes to nezik, whenever it comes to damages, right? Adam u'ad la'olam, right? The person is always has liability. Right, I bump into your car by accident. I didn't mean to bump into your car. So, forget American law, forget insurances for just a moment. From a halacha standpoint, you're always liable. You always have to make restitution for the damages that you did, even if you did not intend to damage. Right? That's general rule when it comes to nezek. Over here, when it comes to being mafagel, a kohen being mafagel, we're making a distinction between intentional versus unintentional? Correct. Because, based on what I explained just a couple of moments ago, because this is hezek she'eino nikar. This is not a recognizable damage. This is not actual damage. This is just legal change. And really, technically, you're off the hook, but the Chachamim stepped in and imposed a punitive fine. They only imposed a punitive fine if the Kohen's intent was to damage. Okay? If the Kohen's intent is not to damage, so then he is me'ikar hadin, and even from a rabbinic standpoint, does not have personal liability. Okay. So far, so good. That's the Mishnah in Gittin. Now, t'ni Allah, now there's a bright side that says pigul on pigul. Oh, and by the way, you know, if they're mefagel b'shogeg, it's still pigul. Right? Meaning, from a nezik standpoint, there's no personal liability. From a pigle standpoint, it's still pigle. So now, simple question. What's the case? What exactly is the case where the Kohen creates pigle b'shogeg, and the pigle's the pigle? So hey, chidami. So that's exactly the Gemara's question. So what's the case? Did he know it was a carbon chata v'kamachasha b'alashom shlamim? So the Gemara, and I'm sorry, and he changes the designation to a shlamim. So hai shogeg mezidin avu, meaning if he knew what was going on, we can't call that a shogeg. That's mezid. So alalav de chasavar shlamim hu v'kamechashe bar l'shom shlamim. So it must be that he thought it was a shlamim. It wasn't. He thought it was a shlamim, and his intent was to change it to a shlamim. The katan and pigul and pigul, and you see that even though he wasn't the wiser, it still will have legal ramifications. Alma, akir betos, havi akira. Even though he was misinformed, he can uproot, he can change the designation of something even based on misinformation. Okay? So, from the Braisa regarding the Kohen who's Mefagel B'Shogeg, it seems that even though it's based on misinformation, it still has legal significance. This challenges Rabba. So Abai says, no, let's go back to what we suggested earlier, which is, it's a chatas, and you're changing it to a shlamim, and you ask the question, well, that's not shogeg, that's mezid, uve omer mutter. He thought that that was okay. Meaning, he knew the facts, he wasn't misinformed. He knew it was a chatas, he's trying to change it to a shlamim. So how can you say that that's shogeg? What's the case? The case is, he thought it was okay. He thought it was mutter. He thought it was permissible. This idea, this concept of omer mutter comes up a couple of times throughout the Gemara. Right? The omer mutter, where a person thought that it was okay. The Gemara over here says, what category does that fall under? Shogeg. Our Gemara tells us that falls under the category of shogeg, as is clear as the Gemara is offering that as a pshat in the Braisa, when the Mishnah says, shogeg, the pigle is in fact pigle. Gemara in Makos, just to give you another example of omer mutter. The Gemara in Makos says, let's say you kill somebody, a funny Gemara, but let's say you kill somebody and your defense is, oh, I thought it was okay. Right? Omer mutter. Do you get to go to Galus? Intuitively, we all know the answer. What do you think? You think you can go to Galus for that? Yeah. Right? You kill somebody and your line of defense was, oh, I thought it was okay. Right? I thought I didn't know killing was prohibited by the Torah.
Maybe he was acting in a zealous rage or something.
Right, well, that could very well be, but that he actually says, I thought it was mutter, I thought it was okay. So is that shogeg?
But that's after the fact.
Yeah, right, but I'm saying, in other words, is he going to be able to now suggest, well, because I thought it was okay, I now, under the category of shogeg, I can go to the Ari Miklat. The Gemara Makos tells us, no. He can't. He can't go to the Ari Miklat. In fact, he is Karav Lamezid, that's much closer to Mezid. So you should just know, this Omer Mutter, the line of defense of, I thought it was okay, meaning legitimately, he's telling you, I thought it was okay, it's not always the same. Meaning here our Gemara puts it under the category of Shogeg, the Gemara Mako says it's not exactly Shogeg. But the difference, I think, is obvious. Meaning, over there, you're talking about murder. Hard to ever really legitimately think murder is okay. There's something so intuitively wrong about it that saying Omer Mutter is just not a defense. Not doesn't fall into the category of shogeg. Here, in the world of Karbanos. I mean, you know, we're just learning it now for the first time, or the second time, or... you know, some of us even more, but still, I mean, it's karbanos. So there's nothing intuitive by a karban. So when the Kohen says, oh, I thought you can change a chatas into a shlamim, or a shlamim into a chatas, that very well maybe it's not okay, but that would fall into the category of shogeg. All right. Okay, next. Mesa Reb Zera. Okay, I read that quickly, and I did that because that was day one of Menachos. Day one of Menachos, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which is, look, in the world of Menachos, you're really going to have shinui? Like, what are you going to say? I'm offering this mincha l'shumar cheshes as a deep dish mincha. And meanwhile, it's in a thin dish. It doesn't work. Meaning, in the world of Menachos, it's kind of self-evident what it is. Right, so Rabbi Shimon says, there's no such thing as shinui kodesh when it comes to mincha. In the world of Karbanos, of course there's shinui kodesh because it's animal, it's shechting, and it's what carbon it is going to be based on whatever it's designated as. So if you do shinu, if you do make a change, that change is going to be legally significant. But Rabbi Shimon says, when it comes to a mincha, It's not legally significant because it's self-evident what it is. You can't change it. You can't say it's a deep dish when meanwhile it's in a thin pan. So hey chidami. So ilay mediyad the machvas yivaka kametz lelushamar cheshes. So Gemara says again. What exactly is the scenario over there? Did you know it was a machvas? Did you know it was a thin pan? And when you did the kmitza, you said, "I'm doing it l'shem archeshes." So kimasem ochicha mayhavi hamaaka ka'akerla. So the Gemara says, "But you're uprooting it." Alalav the kasaver marcheshesi. So the Gemara says, "So you know what the pshat is? You thought it was a marcheshes, okay? For whatever reason, maybe you never experienced both. So maybe you thought it was a deep dish. The kakamitz l'shem archeshes." So the Gemara says, so you made a mistake. But haba alma, but in general, akira batars havi akira. But generally speaking, a change based on misinformation is legally significant. So again, amalei Abai says no. Lolam diado demachvasi. Abai says no. Let's go back to the Mishnah, the first Mishnah Menachos. No, you knew it was a thin pan. And yet the Kohen says, I'm doing the kmitza as if it's a marcheshes. So Rav Latayim Adam Rav Machshava de la Minkara Pasul Rachmana Machshava de Minkara Lo Pasul Rachmana. Look, we discussed this from the very beginning of the Masechta. In the world of Menachos, it's so self-evident. So whatever you say doesn't matter. You can't change something which is so self-evident. Even if you articulate and you try to say, look, I'm doing the kmitza as a deep dish. If it's a thin pan, that's what it is. What you say is just simply disregarded. Right? The terminology we use in the very beginning of the Masechta is, it's obvious that you're not speaking the truth. So it's just simply disregarded. Okay, good. So again, just quickly summarize now. The confusion of ram versus sheep, meaning the Braisa says that you shechted as a ram. So, and meanwhile, of course, you need a sheep. In other words, you need a one-year-old. And you shechted it with the intent of shechting a two-year-old. So, the Braisa says it doesn't work. Rav says it does work. And one understanding of Rav, Rav Chista's understanding of Rav, is that it was a sheep, and you thought it was a ram, and you brought it as a sheep, that's okay. Because Lamaisa, it is a sheep, and you brought it as a sheep. However, if it is a sheep, and you thought it was a ram, and you changed it to a ram, so Rav Chista says, that's significant. And the Chiddush isn't. It's a big Chiddush. Even though the Kohen is really misinformed, he doesn't know the facts, he doesn't have his facts straight, still, it's legally recognized. His change is still legally significant, even though it's based on misinformation. Okay. And debatable, and the Gemara says it's controversial, and Rava doesn't agree, but the Gemara, that's the opinion of Rav Chista. Okay. Let's start the new Mishnah. Okay, and we're going to continue. Hatamidim ein ma'akvenes musafim v'lo musafim ma'akvenes hatamidim. So look, Yantif just came and went, and okay, welcome back to the welcome back to quote unquote real life, and on Yontif, so we brought a carbon musaf. So unfortunately, now we've been without a base of mikdash now for almost 2,000 years. So, but when the base of mikdash will be built again, so we're going to bring carbon musafim, right? And every time we daven musaf on Yontif, that's kind of what we say, right? We know it's our fault that we don't have a base of mikdash, but we hope the base of mikdash will be built and we'll bring a carbon musaf again. So now on a day where I have a tamid, which is every day, tamid shel shachar and tamid shel ben arba'im, and I have a musaf, they're not ma'akiv one another. So right, much like the theme of the parak has been from the beginning of the fourth parak, so they're both mitzvos. But if I don't have the carbon tamid, I'll still bring the musaf. If I don't have the musaf, I'll still bring the carbon tamid. They're not connected with one another. They're not tied to one another. V'lo musaf ma'akvin zed zed. And the same thing is true with the musafim in general. They're not ma'akiv one another. Lo ikriva keves baboki, akriva bein abayim. If I didn't bring the morning keves, so yakriva bein abayim, I'll bring in the afternoon. I'm Rabbi Shimon, name is Bizman Shayu Anusim, Oshogigim. That's only if there was a good reason why it wasn't brought in the morning. Aval im hayu mezidim v'lo yakrivu keves baboker lo yakrivu bein harabayim. However, if it was the failure to bring the morning tamid was the result of just simple negligence, right? They were amazed, right? Hard to imagine. But for whatever reason, the Kohanim felt, you know what, this morning we're not bringing the Karban Tamid. There is no makeup. They cannot bring it in the afternoon.
What's a good reason, like 2 feet of snow or something?
There is no...
Is that a makeup or the second pair?
It seems that we're talking about a makeup. Uh-huh. It seems that we're talking about a makeup. And Rabbi Shimon says, if there was mazed in the morning, so then there's no makeup. Lohi k'tiru k'toros baboker. Now there's k'toros that's offered every day in the Beis HaMikdash. A mana is brought daily. The mana is an amount, is divided. Half the k'toros is offered in the morning, and half the mana is offered in the afternoon. Lo k'tiru k'toros baboker, k'tiru bein arbayim. So if it's not offered in the morning, offered in the afternoon. Am Rabbi Shimon v'kulai sakreva bein arbayim. And Rabbi Shimon says, okay, and bring the entire mana in the afternoon. She'in mechanchen es mizbech hazav ela b'ketaros asamim. Because how do you inaugurate the mizbech hazav? Meaning, first time usage of kelim, of utensils in the Beis HaMikdash, serve as a form of inauguration. Right? It's chinuch. Chinuch over here doesn't mean train. It means, you know, it does mean. It means to set things in motion. It means to initiation, right? Chanuk? I'm not sure. Maybe. I don't know. But it's, right? It's Chanukah. Chanukah Nabait, right? It's the, you know, it's inauguration. So, Mechanchen Mizbech Hazav Alabek Tarsa Samim. So, when I inaugurate the Mizbech Hazav, the golden Mizbech, so I do so with the Ketar Samim. Now, how did that come up in the discussion over here in the Mishnah? What threw us into this point of discussion? It's almost like we're departing now in the Mishnah. We're talking now about how to be mechanech. The Gemara is going to explain that. The mizbeach. What's its inauguration? The morning tamid. The shulchan is inaugurated with the lechem upon him. B'shabbos velo es haminora ela b'shiva nerasa bein harabayim. The seven candles in the afternoon. Okay. Later on, we're going to explain all this in much better detail. B'aminei Rabbi Chia Baravin Mei Rav Chista. Sibur she'ein lahem tamidim u'musafim. Okay. Let's say the community doesn't have tamid and musafim. Eze mehem kodem. Okay, so here's your choice. Tamid or Musaf. Okay, and there's your choice, and make the choice. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Hey, chidami. Ilema timidim diyume musafim diyume. Is my choice today's tamid and today's Musaf? We all know the answer. Pshita timidim adifa dahavalu tadir umekudash. Look. All right, tadir v'sheno, tadir kodem. Right, the daily one that comes more frequently, the more frequent one is the one that is more significant, and there's really not much to talk about, meaning, obviously. So the Gemara says, how about this? Here's my choice. It's going to be either tomorrow's tamid or today's musaf. Now, right, tomorrow's tamid or today's musaf.
Meaning, you already had a tamid for the day.
Now, right. So, right. That's right. Now,
set of offerings. One complete set of offerings.
Right. So, good. Good. Now, that it's also further problem. Oh, let me read the Gemara. Right. Your question is very good. Tamidim adifa shekein tadir. So again, let's just play along with the Gemara. Although there's an intrinsic flaw in the question, but. Let's just work with the Gemara. Tamidim Adifa Shekein Tadir. On one hand, Tamid is more common, so it should get precedence. So Delma Musafim Adifa Dehavalu Mekudash. But it's today's Musaf, and today's Musaf has Kedusha. Kedusha Sayom is today. Amalei Tanisua Tamim Ein Ma'akvinas Musafim Olam Musafim Ma'akvinas Ezat Tamidim Olam Musafim Ma'akvin Zeze. The Musafim Ma'akiv one another. Hechidami Ilema Deleislei. I'm sorry, the Islay. So the Gemara says, what's the case in the Mishnah? In the case, is the case in the Mishnah where the where you have? So the Gemara says the Liktam, and it's just a question of which one should come first. The Hatanya Minay Shalay Davar Kodem LaTamish Shachar Tamalamar VaArach Allah HaOla VaAmarava HaOla Ola Rishona. So, first of all, in terms of order of the day, we know what the order of the day is. The order of the day is first the Tamid Shoshachar, and then the Musaf afterwards. So that can't be the Gemara's, the Mishnah's discussion. Elapshita Deleislei. So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be that the Mishnah is dealing with the scenario where I don't have, meaning I don't have both. Okay, and the Mishnah's point is not an issue of Kedima. We know which one comes before what. The Eid Yume, and if it's today's Tamid versus today's Musaf, so Amai Tadim Mekudosh Tadir Adif. So the Gemara says, because look, if they're given the choice of that which is Tadir versus that which is Mekudosh, again, Tadir Vishenu Tadir Tadir Kodem, the one that's more frequent comes first, which means the Tamid comes first. Alalav Dula Machar. So the Gemara says it must be today's Musaf versus tomorrow's Tamid. So Viktani Emakvin Zed. So the Gemara says, and what is the if? Okay, so by process of elimination, that's our choice. Today's Musaf versus tomorrow's Tamid. Ama ki hadadi ninu. So the Gemara says, so what do you see? That basically the Mishnah's point is, Ein ma'akev zezah, meaning choose whichever one you want. So you basically they're on par with one another. Amalei Abayi la'olam di'islay. The Gemara Abayi says no, I disagree. In other words, it's they were talking about today. V'liktem I'm sorry ulekadem udikakashi lach shloi yedaver kodem mitzvah. I'm sorry shloi yedaver kodem. Mitzvah ba'amahu. And what about the halacha that the Tamid Shel Shachar should come first? So the Gemara says, as a mitzvah, the Tamid Shel Shachar should come first. But what if I offer the Musaf before the Tamid Shel Shachar? The Musaf works. So in other words, the point then of the Mishnah is, I do have both, and if I brought the Musaf before the Tamid, it works. If I brought the Tamid before the Musaf, it works as well. Right. We have a halacha that varachala ha'ola that the Tamid Shel Shachar should be the one first. So the Gemara says correct. Lemitzvasa, in terms of proper procedure, the Tamid should come first. But in terms of what if I don't do the proper order, ein ma'akvin zezeh, that's the Pshat our Mishnah, they're not ma'akiv one another. Question on the table still stands. Today's Musaf versus tomorrow's Tamid. Tomorrow, stay tuned. We're going to explore that a little bit more.